All right, so let's dive right in. We're tackling a case today that really shook things up in the legal world, a case that made everyone rethink how we decide which state's laws apply when you've got an accident with people from different states all mixed up.
Choice of law, right? Yeah, it can get really messy. This case, Babcock v. Jackson, back in 1963, really forced everyone to think about which state's interests really matter. You know, when those legal lines get blurred.
Totally. And this case is still cited all the time today. So give us the rundown. What actually happened in Babcock?
Well, we had a group of friends, right? They were all from Rochester, New York, Babcock and the Jacksons, and they decided to head up to Canada for a road trip.
Sounds fun, but I'm guessing it didn't end well.
Sadly, no. Mr. Jackson was driving, and he lost control of the car up in Ontario. Miss Babcock, she ended up with pretty serious injuries.
Oh, that's rough. But I'm still not seeing the legal battle here.
Oh, it's there. It's all about a guest statute. Ontario had one of these guest statutes. It basically meant that if you were a passenger in a car, you couldn't sue the driver for just regular negligence, like just a simple mistake. But back in New York, you know where they were all from, passengers, they absolutely could sue if the driver messed up.
Ah, I see. So you've got an accident in Ontario, but everyone's from New York. Which law wins out?
Exactly. That's the million-dollar question. And the lower courts, they went with the straightforward answer, the kind of traditional way of doing things. It's this idea of lex loci delicti, basically the law of the place where it all went down.
So the lower court said, Ontario, guest statute, no lawsuit, end of story.
Yeah, pretty much. But the New York Court of Appeals, they weren't satisfied with that. They took a step back and said, hold up, maybe there's more to this than just where the accident happened. They wanted to dig deeper and see whose interests were really at stake here.
They looked at the bigger picture, the human element.
Precisely. They looked at where everyone lived, you know, where the cars were registered, even why they were taking this trip in the first place, and everything pointed back to New York.
So they were saying, Ontario might have its reasons for having a guest statute, but do those reasons even apply here? Everyone's from New York. This is a New York story.
Exactly. What they were doing was this interest analysis, like whose interests are really in play. It wasn't about just the location anymore. It was about the connections, the real heart of the situation.
So they were looking at the purpose behind Ontario's law and saying maybe it's meant to protect Ontario drivers and their insurance companies, you know, make sure there aren't a bunch of bogus claims. But in this case, in Babcock, does that even make sense? No one's from Ontario.
Right. And the court saw that New York had this strong interest in making sure their own people could get compensation if they were injured because someone else was careless, no matter where it went down.
So New York was like, we need to protect our people, even if they get hurt somewhere else. Makes sense.
Absolutely. And this whole shift, this idea of looking at whose interests really matter, that's what makes Babcock v. Jackson such a pivotal case. It changed the game completely.
So they threw out the old rule book and said, let's get to the heart of it. Let's look at whose story this really is. It's like a whole new way of thinking about these kinds of cases.
Yeah, exactly. It's really fascinating. It was a huge shift in legal thinking, a real landmark decision, and its impact, well, it went way beyond just this one case.
And that's where things get really interesting. But let's save that for part two. First, gotta know, did everyone love this new approach? Mm. Was there anyone who pushed back and said, hold on, this is too messy. I like the old way better?
Well, like in a lot of big decisions, there was a dissenting opinion in this one, too. One of the justices, Justice Van Voorhees, he had some worries about ditching the old rule. You know, that whole law of the place thing? He was concerned that this new way of doing things could get really confusing really fast.
So he was like, I get it. You want to be fair, but we need to know what the rules are. You know, we need some certainty.
Right. He saw the value in having clear rules everyone could understand and rely on. But the majority, they weren't convinced. They thought that, well, sometimes justice means looking beyond just the rules, looking at the real people and what happened in each case.
So it's this classic tension. On one side, you've got predictability and consistency, like knowing what the rules are. And on the other side, you've got fairness. It's not easy to balance those two. And that's really what Babcock is all about.
Yeah, for sure. It forced the legal world to look at this tension head on and figure out, okay, how are we going to handle these situations when laws clash? When it's not just clear-cut where things happen. And Babcock really opened the door to a more nuanced way of thinking about these conflicts, a way that's still shaping how we approach these issues even today.
It's a powerful example of how a single case can really change the way we think about the law, how it can ripple outward and have this huge impact even decades later.
Yeah, Babcock v. Jackson is a classic for a reason.
Welcome back. So we left off talking about that dissenting opinion and how you've got this need for clear rules in the law, but then also this desire to make sure things are fair in each individual case. Babcock v. Jackson really brings that tension to the forefront.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So the New York Court of Appeals, they side with Ms. Babcock, right? They say New York law applies. What happens next? Is the whole legal system just like instantly change how they do things?
It's not quite that simple. The legal world, it tends to move a bit slower, but Babcock, it really planted a seed, you could say. It gave courts a whole new way to think about those tough choice of law questions.
Okay, so before Babcock, how did lawyers even approach these kinds of cases?
It was pretty cut and dry, really. If you were a lawyer arguing about which state's law should apply, you basically pointed to where the whole thing happened and said, "See, it happened here, so the state's law controls." Case closed.
So it was almost like a no-brainer argument back then. Just point to the location and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. But Babcock, it threw a wrench in that whole approach. Suddenly, lawyers couldn't just rely on that simple location rule. They had to dig deeper, They had to tell a story that convinced the court that their client's home state was the one that really mattered, the one with the strongest connection to the case.
So they had to like build a case that went beyond just the location.
Exactly. It wasn't enough to just point out a map anymore. Lawyers had to highlight those less obvious ties. They had to think about where the people involved lived, where the car was registered, what the whole point of the trip was. They had to make their client state's interests stand out, show why it mattered more than any other state's.
So Babcock basically created this whole new battleground for lawyers, right? Where it wasn't just about knowing the laws, it was about being able to tell a compelling story.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. It's like Babcock raised the bar for legal arguments. You had to be persuasive, you had to understand the human element of the case, and you had to connect all those legal dots to the real-world impact on your client.
It sounds like lawyers had to become like master strategists after Babcock. They couldn't just know the law, they had to know how to use it to tell a powerful story.
And that's a skill that's become even more important today in a world where everything's so connected, where people and businesses cross state lines all the time.
Yeah, I can see that. But before we jump ahead too far, let's stick with the aftermath of Babcock. Did this new way of thinking, this interest analysis, catch on right away? Or was there some resistance?
Well, let's be real. The legal world doesn't always love change. But Babcock, it made a splash, that's for sure. People started paying attention, legal scholars, judges, even the folks who write those big, influential restatements of the law.
So Babcock was making waves even in those like official legal circles. Pretty impressive.
Totally. And its impact shows up in the Restatement Second of Conflict of Laws, which came out just a few years later. They actually included those core ideas from Babcock, moving away from that strict place of the wrong focus and embracing a more flexible way of thinking about these issues.
So Babcock, this case about a car accident in Canada, helped reshape how the entire legal system thinks about these conflict of laws questions. That's wild.
That's the power of a landmark decision. It's not just about the specific facts of the case, it's about the principles it establishes, the ripple effects it creates, and the impact it has on how we view and apply the law, even years later.
Wow, so Babcock wasn't just a win for Mrs. Babcock, it was a win for a more just and thoughtful approach to figuring out which state's laws apply when things get messy across state lines.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And that's a victory that still matters today. We can see its impact in all sorts of modern day cases.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been digging into this landmark case, Babcock v. Jackson. It's crazy how a case from, what, the 60s about a car accident can still be so relevant in today's world.
Yeah, the New York Court of Appeals, they were really ahead of their time. They saw that sticking to those rigid rules about location wouldn't work in a world where people and events were constantly crossing state lines.
And things are even more complex now. It's not just car accidents anymore. We've got the internet, online businesses, data flying all over the place. So how do these principles from Babcock, how do they work in this digital age?
Think about like online shopping, right? You're sitting in each nook, but you buy something from a website that's based in California, and then the product malfunctions and you get hurt. Whose law applies then? California's, because that's where the company is, or New York's, because that's where you got hurt. It gets tricky fast.
Right. So suddenly, that whole idea from Babcock about figuring out which state has the most significant relationship, it becomes super important. You can't just default to, like, I don't know, the location of the website server or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to think about things like where the buyer is, where the seller's doing business, maybe even where the product was manufactured. And then on top of all that, you have to consider the policies behind each state's laws. Like, does California have these strong consumer protection laws they're trying to enforce? Does New York want to make sure businesses are held responsible when they sell faulty products to their residents? It's a lot to juggle.
So it goes back to those legal arguments we talked about, where lawyers have to become like storytellers. They have to connect the dots and show how their client state has the strongest interest in the case.
Yep. And it's not just e-commerce either. Think about data breaches. A company might have servers in one state but be based in another, and then the people affected by the breach could be all over the world. Figuring out which laws apply to data privacy and liability, that can be a real legal raise.
It's mind-blowing. We're talking millions of online transactions happening every day, data breaches impacting people everywhere.
Mm.
Babcock almost feels, I don't know, prophetic. Like they knew this interconnected world was coming.
Maybe they didn't see the specifics, but they knew the legal system needed a framework that could adapt, something flexible enough to handle an increasingly complex world. And that's what they gave us.
So wrapping things up, it's clear that Babcock v. Jackson was much more than just a decision about a car accident. It was a turning point. It forced the legal world to grapple with this new interconnected reality and find a more nuanced, flexible way to resolve legal conflicts.
Absolutely. Babcock is a perfect example of how the law can evolve and adapt to meet the changing needs of society. And its impact, well, it's going to continue to shape how we handle legal disputes for a long time to come.
It's been awesome digging into this case with you. It really makes you think about how a single legal decision can have these huge ripple effects, shaping the way we approach the law and justice for years and years. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Babcock v. Jackson. It's a case that keeps on giving.